I just have a wonderful message in my heart about Jesus. These songs you've been singing goes right along with it.
Will you win this room?
Hebrews chapter 4, you'll find my text. I pray the Lord will help me. I have it in my heart so sweetly, so earnestly, so joyfully. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, seeing, knowing, understanding that we have. You have something, what do you have? You have something, don't you? You possess something. Something that you can enjoy and use. We have. What do we have? A great high priest. A great high heavenly priest. Priest indicates a go between us and God, an intercessor, a mediator. We have a great high priest. You have him. I have him. You have him. Everyone in this house has this great high priest for you. Seeing we have a great high priest that is what? Passed into the heavens. There's something about this ascending up on high of Christ that is just the theme of the book of Hebrews. I have studied and feasted on the book of Hebrews through the years, and it just seemed like it keeps strong and fresh in my heart, because it's about this high priest. This high priest that we have to look to go to trust in, to follow, to believe in, to obey, to hold fast to. That's what this is. We have. You have someone that you can go to in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of need. You have someone you can go to no matter where you are. Whether you're at Monarch Springs or at home or on the road or wherever you are, we have a great high priest that we can go to. You can go to. Children, young people, listen to me. You have someone you can go to for help in life. For life and salvation. For strength, for wisdom, for guidance, for protection. He is open. He is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 1/4 days a year. He's always there day and night. He has never left his place of intercession since he went there. He's never had a vacation. He's never had a break. He is on the job all the time, listening to my prayers and your prayers, beholding your need and my need, my afflictions, my problems, my burdens, and my needs. He's right there for you. Oh, let's take advantage of him. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, we have him. Is he yours? Do you have him? Have you given your heart to him? Have you given up this old wicked world and its bad fantasies and wickedness and sin and evil? Have you given it up? Have you laid hands on your heart on Jesus? Do you have Him? We have a great High Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that has passed into the heavens. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for you and for me this morning at 11:18 a.m. And He's been there for over 2,000 years. Look what He's done for people all down through the ages. I love to read about people of other ages, their writings. I just love to read about them, how they found Jesus. Yes. Praise the Lord. John Bunyan, that wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, one of the greatest books besides the Bible. Oh, it's based on the Bible. He found Jesus. It healed his life, his mind, his spirit. It made him a blessing. He lived for the Lord. That's back in the 1600s. Charles Wesley and John Wesley had been on a trip down into Georgia from England, and they weren't even saved. They weren't even really converted yet, but they was wanting to do something for God. And they was on their way back, and they just got to the place where they just was frustrated. They didn't know what to do. And they left and got on a boat. And on this boat was a bunch of spiritual people who were born again. I can't remember what they called them.
Moravian.
What?
Moravian,
yeah. They were on there. And a big storm came. And John Wesley and Charles Wesley were so troubled and fearful. But they looked on these Moravians and they were just as calm and peaceful, and they were praying. And God answered prayer. And it did something for John and Charles Wesley. They came back to England realizing that they needed something. They needed that Jesus. They didn't have Him like these people did. And they began to seek for it. And they found it. They found Him. Oh, glory be to God. Another little woman that I've loved to read about, and I have a book of her works. Her name was Frances Ridley Havergal. Her father was a saint minister, a godly man. And as a young girl, and she had a mother, that as she was dying, when Frances was just a young girl, her mother was dying, and she told her, she called her Frankie. She says, every Sunday morning when the church bells ring, think of me. And she never forgot that. She wrote it in a poem in her book. That woman loved God. She found God. She found sanctification, the Holy Spirit. She lived a spiritual life. She died at the age of 43 years old. And she wanted on her tombstone the scripture in 1 John 1 about the blood, Jesus and the blood. Oh, dear ones, we have had people all down through the years that have found and contacted the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, our great high priest. They found Him. They were healed. They were saved. They were guided. They were directed. We have a great high priest passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our confidence, our testimony. Let us not be moved away from it. There's things in this old world that'll move you out of it if you don't watch it. This old wicked world we live in, lust and covetousness and strife and bitterness and hatred and all of these things. Dear ones, they're keeping many people out of the way. Pleasures, sports, entertainment, television, internet, all of these things. People are just carried away with these frivolous earthly things that's going to perish. But we have found something that's eternal. We have found something that is more wonderful than all the inventions that man could ever. These old cars, I have one, we use it, but I'll tell you, one of these days, I'm going to be through with that thing. That's right. And these old airplanes, I used to be amazed at them and fascinated with them. They don't mean anything to me anymore. They're just the inventions of man. They've polluted our air. All these awful things we have. I tell you, dear ones, we found something better than these old frivolous earth and these houses. You can have them. I have one. Yes, thank the Lord. But one of these days, I'm moving out. And I won't need it no more. Praise the Lord. These old highways. Big old trucks. Woo! I won't need them. We'll just be through with all this here. We've got something better to live for. We've got something better to enjoy than that old television. You can have it. I don't want it. I don't have one in my home, and I never will have one in my home. I just don't want it. I found something better to look at. Praise the Lord. We have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Do you have a profession? Do you have an experience with Him? Hold fast to it. Keep working at it. Keep praying to Him. Listen, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was faithful. He was obedient to God. The devil tempted Him. The devil come after Him. The devil tried in every way to get Him down, but He never yielded. He was victorious over Satan and sin in this world. He overcame this world, not with physical, mental, military force. No. He's not that kind of a soldier. He is a spiritual soldier conqueror. He conquered the world by obedience to God and submission to die on the cross. Listen, He was in all points tempted like as we are. He was tempted to draw back from the cross. He was tempted. That's why He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed and wept and agonized before God. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me that I may not get drink, but if it not be that I must drink it, Thy will be done. He prayed and He submitted, and then He went where His disciples were falling asleep on Him. He says, up, arise. He's coming. He's coming. And Judas, one of His disciples, betrayed Him and brought the people where they could find Him. And they took Jesus. They took Him. That evening, they ran a mock trial through the night. They condemned Him and they sentenced Him and executed Him the next morning. And He let them do it. He could have stopped them. He could have defended Himself. He could have called for 12 legions of angels. But how could the Scriptures be fulfilled? He was the fulfilling of the Old Testament Scriptures in Psalms and in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all up to the Scriptures. He has prophesied. He fulfilled prophecy by obediently submitting to the cross. I love that Scripture in Philippians 2. That is one of my prime treasures. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, have the same mind, same attitude, same disposition, same purpose that Jesus had. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, that means He was in eternity with the Father before the world was. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe it. I've searched the Scriptures. I've studied about this thing. And I believe Jesus was in the beginning before the world was. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The real Greek rendition of that is, who being in the form of God, did not count equality with God to be held on to. In other words, he did not hold on to that high position. Who being in the form of God, counted not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself. And the Greek says, he emptied himself. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The worst kind of death that a person could ever suffer was the cross. I've read about it. And it is the awfulest way to die. And Jesus submitted himself to let them do that. He could have stopped at any point. But he did not stop. He did not draw back from the cross. Who being in the form of God, counted not robbery equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's what he did. He took upon him humanity with all of its feelings, with all of its hurts, with all of its infirmities, with all of its temptations. He took upon him humanity. And being found in fashion as a man, he went on down farther. See, it was a great condescension from the realms of eternity down to humanity. But now he's in humanity, he goes on down farther. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Is that the end of it? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Oh, dear ones, that scripture just rings in my mind and spirit. God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Study that word, Lord. Lord means over everything. Well, I got a little more here in my text. Now, I've tried to bring that out, and I'm going to have to commit it to the Lord and to all of us. But that's what we have. I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God this very day, listening to us. He's got his eye on this meeting. He knows every heart that loves and worships him. He is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. I believe that. I've pondered it. I've studied it. I've weighed it. I've turned it over in my mind and prayed. And it just is opened up to me, revealed to my innermost being. This is the truth. Now you can have this old world, take the world for Christ is mine. In His kingdom I would shine. You can have this old money. You can have these old houses, these old cars. You know, there's some people that's all they live for is cars. Bah, no good. You can have all that. As for me, we want to live for Jesus. I love another song. I love a lot of songs. My life is filled with songs. Since I gave up worldly music and started living for the Lord, I've got so many songs. One of them I love so much, Living for Jesus. A life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Living for Jesus who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my shame and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leadings, and give Him my all. You ever heard that song? It's a wonderful song. There's lots of good songs. Another one I love so much is My Jesus, I Love Thee. I Know Thou Art Mine. That song was written by a teenage boy that had just gotten saved. And he wrote that song. My Jesus, I love Thee. When I sing that, it just seems my heart is lifted up. My Jesus, I love Thee. And I tell the Lord, I say, Lord, I need to love You more. I love You to all I know and all I can, but I need to love You more. You're worthy of more love than I could ever give You. Jesus died for you. And now He's at the right hand of God interceding for us. The scriptures in Hebrews just over and over, it brings it out. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What doing? Looking unto Jesus. And the Greek text indicates looking away. Get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of material things, things that are seen, and look up, look away unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him. He had a joy that was set before Him. That, what was that joy? A bride. Did you know that? I know a little bit about that myself, because I have a bride. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, counting lightly the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, let's get the conclusion. Verse 16. Let us, you and me, everybody, if there's any unsaved person in this crowd, I want to entreat you. Yes. Seek for and feel after Jesus. Yes. He's your only hope. Yes. You'll never make it without Him. You might think you will, but you won't. He's the only refuge for you that you can have. That's really worthwhile. Let us therefore, because of what He's done, because of what He's worked out and what He's provided, let us therefore come boldly, with confidence, no doubts, with assurance, with faith. Amen. You can have faith. You can be like Abraham. Can be like Abel. You can be like Noah. You can be like Moses. They had faith. They developed a faith through obedience and fervency looking to God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This a throne, it denotes power and authority and rulership, but it also denotes mercy and help. Amen. We can come to the throne of grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You need to be doing that personally in your own life. And you need to join with other children of God in their prayers. I have been kind of sad in this meeting because very few people come and get in on the early morning prayer meeting. I want to encourage you to go to bed a little earlier and get up a little earlier and come down and be with us in the early morning prayer meeting. Okay? I'm not going to ask you who is going to do it, but it's up to you. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace. You can come to the Lord anywhere you are. Whatever you're doing, you can lift your heart to Him in prayer. Do you know that? You don't have to be on your knees. It's good to be on our knees. The Bible speaks about it. Let us come and worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's good. But you don't have to be on your knees. You can be going down the road, driving your car, calling on God. I've done that a lot of times. Oh yes. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Mercy. Plentiful in mercy. And find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are in need so many times. We need help. We need a healing. We need comfort. We need guidance. We need instruction. We need mercy. Yes. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's not just do it here, but let's do it in our cabins, wherever we are. Go out and take a little walk, and while you're walking, call on the Lord. You ever do that? While you're working. I remember my mama, my godly mother, when I was a little boy, I remember her going about the kitchen, doing the kitchen work, and praying. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. I was impressed by that. She lived a life of prayer. She taught us to pray. She taught us to pray in family worship. My first prayers were something like this. Dear Jesus, help me to be a good boy and help me to live and be what I should be and be with us through the day. And we'll give you the praise. Amen. Well, I meant it. But I thank the Lord as I got older, I got to really seeking the Lord more in better prayer than that. And when I was not quite 18 years old, I made my decision to live for Jesus. And I gave my heart to Him, and I've tried with all my heart ever since then. Those 56 years ago, I've tried to live for Jesus. And the Lord has blessed me so much. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. You want mercy? You can get it by coming to the throne of grace in prayer. Lots of other scriptures, but this is what we're going to close out with. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen.